Excuse me, if it please the court. Allow me to present our intentions to theater.
I second the nomination.
I move that nomination be closed.
Thank you.
The court is yours, Lee.
Thank you very much, Chester. Ted, you ever seen any of them old Alfred Hitchcock episodes?
Yes, sir.
You ever see the one called The Man from Rio with Peter Lorre and Steve McQueen? If you saw it, you'd remember it. It's called The Man from Rio with Peter Lorre and Steve McQueen. Anyway, Peter Lorre makes a bet with Steve McQueen that Steve McQueen can't light his cigarette lighter 10 times in a row. Now, if Steve McQueen lights his cigarette lighter 10 times in a row, he wins Peter Lorre's new car. But if he does not light his cigarette lighter 10 times in a row, Peter Lorre gets a chop off Steve McQueen's little pinky. Norman and Chester here just made the same bet. Norman has bet his pinky that he can light his cigarette lighter 10 times in a row. If he does, he wins Chester's 1964 Chevy Chevelle red fucking beautiful car. If he doesn't, chop off his fucking pinky. What do you think about that?
You guys are drunk.
Of course we're drunk, Teddy. That's why we're here,
cheers,
but that does
cheers.
Not mean that
cheers,
I don't know
cheers.
What the fuck we're talking about.
Hi, and welcome to the Unnamed Movie Podcast. This is Andrew.
This is Douglas.
And this is David.
And we are...
Is the it 2 hours three in? Amigos.
Have we been going for 2 hours?
And with that, I'd like to call an end to the Unnamed Movie Podcast.
I want to be dusty.
Three amigos, my ass.
I don't think we've ever really talked about the three amigos here.
I don't think we need to.
That movie is so good.
There are like 2 people on earth that don't like that movie, and they're both going to hell. So
yes.
Are you going to hell, Damien?
No.
Good.
Right? We have our spot reserved.
Between them and the people that don't like The Lion King. Which,
there are people
shit.
That don't like The Lion King?
I met one of them over Christmas. And all, like, if it wasn't for the fact that she had children there, I'd have kicked her out of my house.
Why didn't you just play The Lion King? Torture
that
her.
That is what I did. And she jumped up and started saying bad things about The Lion King. And everybody turned to her like she had lost her mind.
Which
and I was going to take a chair, hit her in the back of her head and drag her out of my house. But she had small children. And the first time they see that, it shouldn't be from me.
that's totally a valid point. But anyways,
right, we should stop wasting time.
Let's get on with the podcast. And let's start how we usually start.
My cup is kind of wearing off. I drank about 3 hours ago.
All right.
In a drunken stupor.
You guys stop talking. Or this won't stop. I have seen the new Fox TV show The Following. It stars Kevin Bacon or Jorge, which he will be known from now until I am dead.
He is Sebastian Shaw. Actually, I'm giving that show another episode because
I'm going to watch that show until it is cancelled because Jorge is in the show. I'm just going to tell everybody straight up now. That show is terrible. are inept.
But the thing is, most, like, I read a good amount of TV critic articles, and they got the advanced screeners, and they're all saying, look, hold out until the end of episode 2 before you say anything.
Okay.
And I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt, and I'm holding out.
And I am not, that show's terrible. Maggie Grace is in it, and she plays the same character from the Taken movies. And every other movie that she's been in, she plays a poor thing. But they murder her at the end of the episode, so we'll never be seeing her again. And thank God for that.
You sure about that?
I'm not sure.
Remember, Dexter's father is dead, you know.
That is true. Timothy Oliphant's wife from Justified is in this show, and she plays the serial killer's wife, which I guess she's typecast now. The show is bad. Yes, I'm like beating around the bush here. The show is terrible.
The serial killer's wife.
Nothing makes a lot of sense right now, but as Andrew said, it's the first episode, and this is just another running trend with me and with you guys of watching shows that we know are bad, but still watching them for no apparent reason. Yeah.
No, there are apparent reasons. They're just not justifiable.
Yeah, they're just not proper reasons.
You know, we have our new girl, you have your...
I have so many of them.
Yeah, you know.
All right, question. Yes. Since you bring it up, kind of, I want to ask you guys, I mean, are there any shows, since new seasons are starting up again, that you have cut off? And what is it that made it get to that point for you? Because I decided recently that I'm done. I'm cutting off Shameless and... what's that other Showtime
really?
Show?
Has that gotten bad?
And what's House of Lies? Showtime show?
House of Lies?
No, not House of Lies. No, the Hank Moody. Californication.
Wow.
I'm done
with
it.
No, Andrew. I still love me my Moody.
No. I'm not saying that you guys have cut that off. I'm saying those are the ones that I've decided to cut off. And I'm wondering if there are any shows that you personally have.
No, not yet. I mean, the thing is, no.
Why did you cut off Shameless, though? I mean, no, I have to put it all out on the table. Because I have had either better things or incorrect things that I've decided to watch instead. I actually haven't watched an episode since probably mid last season, so I have a lot of catching up to do. So you can tell me that it's gotten crazy, but up to the point that I watched, it was still, you know, what it was, and pretty decent and kind of funny and all of that good stuff. So what happened in Shameless? Why you've decided to cut it off?
You see exactly how you put it. I've decided there are better things, and like how you talk about with shows that we continue to watch regardless of knowing that it's not good or even not that good. I kind of got to a moment with Shameless where I'm like, yeah, I can see where the writers are stringing this out, and it's not really that funny or good anymore. And I'm just, I'm even questioning if it was good to begin with.
That's true. But at the same time, right? The British version is still going. I think it's 8 seasons in now. I would imagine, I haven't watched one episode, but I would imagine that the US version is very much just a copy of the UK version. So if it's gone 8 seasons and people still love it, I would assume that, you know, the second season would still be, you know, the similar sort of trajectory.
Another show which I would be putting on that chopping block, but I'm almost willing to forgive it because it's coming into its last season this summer, is Dexter.
Dexter. Oh, Dexter is not happening after the season?
As far as I know, it's its last season, but the season that just ended, that season was atrocious.
I disagree.
So, okay, Douglas, I want you to tell me what was Dexter's quote-unquote, and I know I'm not saying this as well as most people who speak English, bad guy, last season.
What was this bad guy you said?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you don't need a bad guy to have a good show, but, alright, here's the thing, I agree that Dexter has fallen off. It fell off ever since probably, I think it was 3 or 4 seasons ago when, Lumen, or what the fuck was, what was her real name?
Yeah, you didn't like Lumen, okay. We all know you hate that girl.
Right, yeah. So ever since she came on, Dexter just hasn't quite been the same. That was a horrible season, and it's been kind of mixed ever since. And it's moved up. It's brought, you know, a better game than that. But it still hasn't got back up to, you know, the original few seasons. But this last season was actually, it was all right. Yes. And I liked, you know, where they went with it. And it definitely ended with a bang, you know.
This last season had one good episode, and that was the finale. And the only reason why that was good was because they decided to finally talk about the characters of Dexter. and Deb. Previously for the entire season, they just kind of went, I don't know what I'm doing with my time. I have a girlfriend. Wait, I don't. We're talking about the fact that we're murdering people together now. No, we're talking about this Russian dude who's coming to murder me. No, we're doing this. It was a horseshit season.
Damien, can you please come in and weigh in? Well, you will have to be the tiebreaker,
no,
clearly.
No, I cannot, because I
you haven't watched it?
Dexter years ago. after this season where, like, he had the whole mentor thing going on, where...
Which one?
There was that guy... No. Before Conyo? The season before that. The guy who had the family, and then... He turned out to be the biggest. He was the guy that
third rock from the sun, dude. Why I can't remember right now.
Right after that,
but that season was fantastic.
Right, and after that, I watched the first episode of the next season and realized what they were going to.
What
do.
What was the next season? Remind me, which one was the one
next
after that?
Season after, I think that was the season when they introduced most.
Oh, okay.
And I went.
Okay.
I don't want to watch any of this.
Yeah, I remember you watching that and having a problem with the most left season. I remember that. Yeah.
I watched one episode. I go, I don't think I want to, and I've never.
Holy shit, I've forgotten most of.
No one has ever said anything about Dexter that has made me actually want to go back and watch them. Now, both my mother and my sister watch them, so I've seen them on, and I've never gone, I should sit and watch this. I just go, alright, I get it. I get Dexter is going to keep murdering people, and people are going to continue to not find out until they decide to end the show. And maybe I'll watch the final season, but the thing with Dexter is because it is 1 hour long, you have to sit, you have to invest 1 hour. It feels like you're investing.
And
the
it's
time.
Not, and it's not like TV 1 hour. It's actual.
Right.
It's like 50 something right. minutes because it's on, you know, Showtime.
Where with all of the terrible shows, because I watch far worse shows than
Dexter. Oh, of course.
They're mostly 20 minutes long. I mean, I've seen the entire season now of Whitney,
Why?
Two Broke Girls, and the Mindy Project. And I don't think I've
the Mindy Project
10 times
no,
in the
no.
30 episodes that I've
listen
seen
here.
All of those.
The
things.
Mindy Project is awesome. Don't.
It is okay.
Don't.
Douglas, no. Did you watch the last episode with her brother? Rapping
yes, bottom? I did.
Seriously, Douglas, seriously.
It's funny, I keep up with that, but there are a lot of better shows that I don't keep up with.
But there's
I
a better Jerry. Episode that happened after that with Mark Duplass, and Mark Duplass makes things infinitely
is,
yeah. better.
Was that the one? Was that the one with the rock therapy?
Yeah, that was the same episode.
Yeah, I think that's the same one. Yeah.
Mark Duplass was
Mark
the
Duplass
rock
is hilarious,
therapist.
By the way.
No. Right. There's one after where she tries to bang Mark Duplass.
Oh,
no.
I haven't watched that one yet.
And that one is so good because Mark Duplass is so funny.
Even How I Met Your Mother.
No, oh, that's one that I've been begging to cut, but I'm so
the
far
19th
in.
No, I still enjoy it though. I mean, you know what it is with a show like that.
It's entertaining.
Exactly,
you
with
watch,
a show like
you
that,
know that,
you watch it for the face value, and you get your laughs, and so that's all
no,
I need.
It's not as bad as
I don't need it to
girls.
Mean something. You
it's,
know,
it's nowhere near as bad as Two Broke Girls, where I don't laugh, I just stare at Kat Dennings until it hits credits. But Douglas. If you're going to weigh, you know, based on quality, I wouldn't watch any of these shows. I'm behind in Boardwalk Empire. I haven't seen any of the third season.
No, I'm about where I should be in Boardwalk Empire. I watched the first episode and stopped immediately.
You are, you're so wrong. It is kind of, like, it is maybe a notch below Breaking Bad.
Fuck
it is
you.
That good,
fuck
Douglas.
You.
Douglas, you cannot watch that show.
Uh-huh.
Damien, if you watch the first season of that show and don't love it.
Damien. You have to understand Douglas's mind, right? He sees the first episode, and if I remember correctly, the first episode is a 2 hour episode.
Right.
And
yeah,
Douglas sees
true.
A movie, and he goes, I don't have time for that. I can only watch 20 minutes at a movie. And he says, fuck that shit. And then he doesn't finish it. You know, he hasn't watched half an episode of Tremé yet, right?
No, that's not fair. I watched the first episode and I watched, I think, most of the second episode.
Mm-hmm.
I did not. And didn't think it was all that. I love the music, but
I can tell you, it's not anywhere as good as Boardwalk Empire.
Uh-huh.
But it gets better. Yeah. Tangent. I'm cutting it off. Yeah. The next thing I watch is probably the worst thing I've seen in years. I sat down and watched Tai Chi Zero. Now,
what is that?
You guys need to know something about Tai Chi Zero. It is the first of a two-parter. There's Tai Chi Zero, and then there's Tai Chi Hero. These are supposedly kung fu movies. Now, Douglas, when I say kung fu movie to you, immediately the bar drops all the way to zero.
Yes, it does. Actually, for me, it goes down to about negative five.
And all you're looking for is spectacle. You go, all right, if you guys put enough fight in this, even if it makes
somebody's supposed to have killed someone's father, somebody needs to get revenge. It doesn't need, that's what we need.
You come up with ways for you guys to fight each other, and then you fight. Fine. Tai Chi Zero doesn't do that. Instead, it tells probably the worst story ever put on screen. It is so bad, Douglas, that it is shameful even by kung fu movie standards. That is how bad it is. It is a travesty. It is so bad, Douglas, that at the end of the movie, they hype up the next part of the movie. In the credits, they essentially run a trailer for part two of the movie, where they show slightly more action. It's about an hour and a half. I think there's four or five fights. None of them last more than a minute. And it's just terrible exposition. Of course, it's a kung fu movie. Mm-hmm. And then there's some cartoon animated things, and they try to throw in some humor. And there's kind of a love interest, and someone gets murdered and someone wants revenge. Douglas, it is... like, the thing is, kung fu movies are terrible movies by movie standards. This is a terrible movie by kung fu movie standards. And I sat there the entire time, and I went, like, even when the movie was ending, I went, well, there must be something. There must be something that they do at the end to justify this hour and 20 minutes of garbage. And they don't.
So, I have a question to ask you. Did you then go on to watch Kung Fu Hero?
Tai Chi Hero? No, I didn't. You can only dig a hole so deep. I sat there and I went, it didn't feel possible that this movie could have been that bad. Right? I didn't feel so much angry as kind of just baffled, because the movie was made last year, though. it's not even a case where the movie came out like billions of years ago before people knew what story was. The movie came out last year. And it's just, oh my god, it was so bad.
Wow.
So then I said, alright, to cleanse all of this nonsense out, I'm going to do something that I should have done last year. I'm going to watch The Grey, because I saw The Grey come up on a lot of...
The Grey as in Liam Neeson's
The Grey, right. I saw this movie come up on a lot of people's list at the end of the year.
List for as what?
Being a good movie. So I went, alright, if Liam Neeson is going to punch a wolf in the face, then I'm on board. Turns out he doesn't punch a wolf in the face. Have you seen The Grey?
No, I have not.
Andrew, you've seen it, right?
I saw it in the theater.
No, if I had seen that movie in the theater, they would have had to have given me back my money, Douglas. Douglas, for the entire movie, they're being hunted by wolves. Two wolves are killed in this movie. At the very start of the movie, Liam Neeson shoots one with a sniper rifle to set up the fact that he shoots wolves with a sniper rifle. So that is at the start of the movie.
Wait, how does a regular Joe...
he's not a regular Joe.
In an airplane crash.
No.
It's a sniper rifle.
They're in the Arctic.
Yeah.
And they do whatever people do in the Arctic. He is hired to prevent wolves from murdering the rest of the crew. So he walks around all day with a sniper rifle and shoots wolves that run to eat people. Which is fine. Sounds ridiculous, but fine.
Yeah.
Then they're taking a plane to go home. The plane crashes, and the wolves come to murder them, which is also fine. And Liam Neeson knows everything about wolves, and so he gives constant exposition about the wolves. The wolves murder everybody. I'm going to spoil this movie because it's terrible and you shouldn't watch
it. Yeah, I'm not going to watch it.
The wolves murder everybody. There's 8 survivors, and the wolves murder all of them, one at a time. Including Liam Neeson. Now, the only reason you would watch
Neeson
this,
dies? What?
They're fate to black. Liam Neeson puts on, in the trailer, the glass and the knife. Right. Mm-hmm. And he stares at a wolf. And then it cuts. So the one thing you'd have gone into this movie for, to watch Liam Neeson fight a wolf, you don't get. What you do get is 5 grown men killing one wolf. That is it. That is. And at the end of the movie, if you have any brain cells left from watching this boring 2-hour drab movie of men being murdered in snow, is they crash in the middle of nowhere. And Liam Neeson says at the time, if we're close to their den, they're going to treat us as a threat and murder all of us.
Mm-hmm.
And so they run away into the woods, jumping off cliffs, walking down rivers, only for Liam Neeson. I mean, this has to be like 100 miles they put between where they crashed and where he ends up. Only for Liam Neeson to be in the heart of the den at the very end of the movie. And so your brain will immediately go, that doesn't make any sense. There's no way for your brain to reconcile what he said at the beginning to what is happening right now. And you just go, this might be. I think the people who put this on their list are just mocking everybody. I'm going to put this on my list to see if anyone will, because they know no one saw the movie because it made no money. They're like, I bet if I put this on the list, there'll be people out there like Damien who will think this is a good movie and throw away 2 hours of their life.
Actually, you know what? And they did. I can't wrong you because I did the same thing with Once Upon a Time in Anatolia. I saw it on somebody's list and went, yeah, I meant to watch that one.
If I put this on my list, people will go on waste their... I won't be the only one to have put myself through this. I can con other people to do this. And they succeeded. The movie's terrible. The final movie I'll talk about is a movie that I initially agreed with Andrew's sentiments on the movie. Denzel Washington and Robert Zemeckis put out Fly last year. And Andrew hated the movie for many reasons. And I kind of agreed with him. I didn't hate it as much.
Because you're an asshole.
But I agree with him.
I still haven't watched it though, but I really want to.
Rewatch it and I now disagree with Andrew. And I remember why it was that I hated the movie. I watched a movie here in Jamaica, Carib. And for the entire time, there were Jamaicans being Jamaican, both at me and at that movie. So I was very angry with Carib, with the people inside Carib. And of course, that anger spilled out onto the movie. So when Andrew was complaining, and then I had this terrible experience, I just kind of wrapped it all together and went, alright, the movie's terrible. As it turns out, now that I've watched it at home where movies should be watched, if you live here in Jamaica, is that the movie's pretty good. His performance is okay, it's not his best performance. But the story that is told and how it is told is well done. Most of the acting is fantastic. And Andrew Bish, that, you know, the plane crash happens like after 15 minutes and then the rest of the movie is just him being an alcoholic.
But that's
that
what,
is being,
that's
that
what
is
was promised.
Exaggerating by Alan. So the plane crash actually takes place at about a half an hour into the movie. Cause the movie really goes, it's a little over an hour and a half, but it doesn't feel, I mean, it probably felt terrible to Andrew because he is also an alcoholic and doesn't want to be preached to. but as I am not.
I mean, every time I think about this movie, what pops up in my head is the scene of him going to see the co-pilot. Right. And Denzel rolling his eyes when they say, let's pray.
Right. And that is fantastic. There's a lot of things about the movie that is good. John Goodman is in it, and he's spectacular.
For two scenes.
In everything. But there are two fantastic scenes.
Of course.
And Andrew says that the entire movie is like a giant commercial for AA, and that is as far from the truth as possible. Anyone who watches this movie and thinks that this is a commercial for AA is crazy.
How can it be? Because you crash a plane, you can't advertise an airline by crashing the plane. That doesn't make any sense, Andrew. Yeah. You realize this, right?
Yeah, I do.
They're like, fly American.
Triple A, idiot.
This is where American Airlines you started said their campaign.
I know.
For the change.
I mean, I'll
for
follow.
The change
like,
of oh!
Not sorry.
American Airlines, you moron. Like, he is a... They established that he's a great pilot. Of course, he flew a plane upside down.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. And didn't murder everybody on the plane.
Mm-hmm.
But then they established that he is also a dirtbag. And what you get to see is him being a dirtbag right up until the very last moment.
That sounds like a movie I would like to watch.
And it is good, Douglas. It is a good movie to watch. Everybody in it does. I mean, the casting is, I mean, I don't like to throw this around, but the casting is perfect. Everybody is spot on. There's one scene after he crashes the plane, he's in a hospital and he goes into the stairwell to have a smoke. And there's the love interest, there's Denzel Washington, and then there's this guy who has cancer. And there's this banter between them. And this is fantastic, Douglas. Like, that scene alone is well worth you watching it, as long as you don't watch it at Carib. And so, when the movie ended, I went, there's no way I hated the movie that much when I came out. Okay? I remember disliking the entire experience. But now that I've seen it, I can only imagine how horrible experience it was watching that movie for it to change my opinion that drastically on the movie. Like, I came out of it and I went, yeah, Andrew's right, this movie's a flaming piece of
Damien, I suggest highly that you watch all movies at Carib now.
No.
As long as you agree with me, because that's all I want.
But the movie, like, it made about $80 million, so it wasn't a blockbuster. A lot of people didn't go and see it, but and worldwide it made nothing. But people really should, like, if you get the chance. First of all, it proves that Zemeckis can still direct real people and not just computers.
He directed the Hello to That Airplane.
Oh God, I hate this. And it shows that even your friend Don Cheadle,
fuck you,
if you don't like House of Lies,
I'm still watching season 2.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. I know that he has his hooks into you watching
of
this.
Of course, yeah.
He plays almost that character.
Alright,
and it's pretty good.
Fair enough.
The movie's really good. It's a solid... using our new scale, this is a 3 out of 4.
Ah, fair enough.
That's right.
What would it be on the Gilliamometer, though?
I don't know. Mine stopped working. And I think it needs batteries. So, Douglas.
What have I watched? Douglas. I'm glad you called me that, because the truth is I was very much corporate Douglas this week. I really haven't watched anything new. You know, it's a lot of... old TV shows that I usually watch, and even at that, it's very little. Mainly the most important ones that I watch, like Justified and whatever. But speaking of, we spoke about Timothy Oliphant, and again, speaking of Justified, I had to mention that I watched the second episode of Archer this season. And to my surprise, in the end credits, the name Timothy Oliphant was in there.
Oh, you didn't, I think you didn't notice.
I didn't realize. I didn't realize that it was him. It must have been Lucas was right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Lucas Troy.
I did not notice at all.
I'm going to ask you guys not to spoil anything.
Okay.
Yeah. There's no way I'm watching episode by episode. You guys are high for even attempting to do that. Right? You watch them all together.
I am just smile. so happy we've gotten to this point where you guys have seen the light and are all enjoying our show.
It's not really the light. We just didn't watch the show.
Well, you didn't believe me. You went and just talking about some show. Why is he talking about this?
Right, and then you watch one episode and go, this is amazing. Yeah. And then you watch the rest and you go, how have I not been watching
and
this
whole
time?
And you know what, so let me tell you what happened to me at least. I know you didn't get this, but Andrew tends to recommend bad things.
All the time.
All the time, right?
Like non-stop.
So Andrew was...
War horse.
Exactly. Andrew was, even though I still haven't come down on that one yet. Andrew was going on about this show to the nth degree when he first got into it, and he sat me down one night and said, listen, watch this scene. Mm-hmm. And I think I just had Andrew bias on because he showed me this thing and he was so excited that I was like, fuck this shit, this cannot be good.
I've had that happen.
And so he showed me like the first probably 5 minutes of the first episode, and I was like, no, this is stupid, this is horrible. And one day out of the blue, I saw it, I saw that same episode, watched those same 5 minutes, and could not stop laughing.
I'll tell you, I'm pretty sure that's the same thing I have with Mick Max. I think because you loved it so much, Douglas. Right? I just went, is Douglas a crazy?
From now on,
there's
I'm just
no
going to
way
pretend
this
to hate
good.
Everything I like.
I mean, that's not really a bad mantra to ask.
Of course, because now we're going to do the opposite. He's going to hate it and we're going to be like, you know what? No, I bet you that's a good show.
So that's it, Douglas?
That's right.
No, that's it from me. I have watched Zero. I meant to watch, speaking of Zero, I meant to watch Zero Dark Thirty this week.
Yes.
But, a sleeping Damien and a lazy Douglas did not,
Australian
do not add together.
Don't
to,
start until
to me going out.
And I have to watch them. Because I'm a sick man. It doesn't matter that I can watch them later. I want to watch them live. Can't help myself.
However, hopefully by next week we shall both have seen this movie.
There is no way I'm going to wait until Carib stop showing this movie.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I don't have like
I'm
a
sure
3-day window.
I'm sure you would have said that last week.
No, Douglas, I doubt this movie will be.
It's not
going to
be there. That's true.
Exactly. I know my window is shrinking as we speak.
Probably if we go on Sunday, it will be in the small theater already.
I know if it weren't for this podcast, I'd have probably seen it.
Can I tell you? Actually, I can tell you certainly, because Nicholas said to me, I'm going to Zero Dark 30 today. Would you like to go? And I almost said yes. And then I realized, shit, I have a podcast.
And we could have gone because it didn't start until
9 o'clock. 9:30. I could have gone straight after a class to the 5 o'clock movie.
Yeah, we made terrible decisions.
Oh, yes, we did.
So, Andrew Robinson, you who are making the worst decision of all, keeping us two on the podcast, what have you watched?
I did see Zero Dark Thirty, and watching it again, I'm reminded as to why it's one of my favorite movies from last year.
From
really
this
good.
Year?
From last year.
Fuck you.
Thank you.
I also watched The Impossible, which is the new film directed by the guy who gave us The Orphanage. It's about a family starring Ewan McGregor and Naomi Watts who go to Thailand for their Christmas vacation and then a tsunami smacks them in the face.
I love the tagline, is there anything more powerful than love? And I remember we were watching that in the theater and Joel said, yeah, that's Tsunami. Thank you, Joel.
So for anyone out there who listened to last week's podcast and heard Damian mention Joel as the biggest asshole and you didn't have any real context, just think of that moment.
Right. I just manifest that like moment 10, as a person. That's pretty much Joel.
This movie is horrendous.
Came out in Christmas. It was about a tsunami and families finding each other.
No, it came out earlier than that.
Listen, we should have kind of known this because guess what? The last movie that came out about a tsunami was directed by Clint Eastwood and starred Matt Damon. And it was called The Happening or whatever the fuck it was. And that was bad, right?
I've forgotten about that movie.
That movie was horrible. Oh,
so, was that the one where Matt Damon was a psychic or something?
Yes, yep. Yes, oh, it shit. Was.
Not even for all the money in the world. I'm very sorry.
I can't even put my finger on what it really is, but like, there's the element of going, were white people the only people that is affected? Which is what this movie kind of feels like. Because even when you leave, when after it occurs, and the characters start to leave and try to survive, once you get out of the hotel area and you start to see people who you'd imagine are the normal, the natives of Thailand, who are helping these people move along, you never really see them in any trouble. They're all like, oh, you guys were in like a thunderstorm a while ago. Maybe I should give you a ride. You need a ride? And it feels like it's neglecting a lot of what the context of this incident was.
Yeah, but Andrew, they're brown people. They're used to it.
Look, when beautiful white people come to your country, such as you and McGregor, you do whatever the beautiful man tells you to do.
And I mean, I even wanted to go in, and because I kind of knew that's what was going to be happening based on what a lot of people told me about this movie, I was like, you know what, let me accept it that this is the white people story, and they'll just ignore that, and let me see what else this movie has to give me. And it feels like cinema manipulation 101. The filmmaker took that, and he failed the course horribly. Even when you get to the end, when everyone is getting back together, when the music comes in, you're like, oh, fuck. Like, however you felt about War Horse, Damien, times it by 5, and that's how I feel about this movie. In just being completely manipulating
your
audience.
What did this director give us again before this?
The Orphanage.
The Orphanage, right. That was a good movie.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it's pretty good. Yeah. So is that it?
That's pretty much about it. I'm sorry for not listening to everyone who told me not to watch this movie. I gave in, saying, you know what, it's Ewan McGregor, and
I do like Ewan McGregor.
It's the guy who did The Orphanage. Yeah. Let me hope.
He likes Star Wars.
Let's not talk about Star Wars.
We can talk about Star Wars.
But let's not talk about those Star Wars.
We're a movie podcast, so we don't normally do news, but whenever there's gigantic news, such as Disney calling J.J. Abrams to do Star Wars.
But hold on, isn't that some sort of sacrilege? How can you do Star Trek and Star Wars? There needs to be a clear line between the two.
Because at this point, nerds group together.
No, but the Trekkies and well, they don't have a name, but let's call them warriors.
And nerds.
Just like it was sacrilege go together. When he was first announced to be the Star Trek director, and he was so openly a Star Wars fan that all Star Trek fans went, fuck you, JJ, I don't want you touching my things.
Here, at this point, I see what's happening.
Didn't he even say something along the lines of, I've never even watched a Star Trek movie at this point?
Or even better yet, when he said, guys, I put R2-D2 into a Star Trek movie.
That was funny.
I hope you can find him.
It's gotten to the point where we're having director specialization. Right? So we have Zack Snyder. He'll do comic books. Movies. Right? And whenever Avengers guy does Avengers 2, he will be in the Zack Snyder category. That will be it. He will make those movies and only those movies. Then for all nerd territory, J.J. Abrams. Mission Impossible. Star Wars, Star Trek. That's it. Right? And then Chris Nolan will do whatever he wants.
Thank you. Thank you.
Steven Spielberg will continue to do whatever he wants. Yeah. And then everybody else has to scramble.
Quentin Tarantino continue to be amazing.
Michael Bay will continue to blow shit up in Transformers movies. And everybody else just has to clear way. But like when it came out that he was going to do it, I went, I'm not a fan of Mission Impossible 3. I am a fan of the Star Trek movie.
Super 8.
But all in all, I like J.J. Abrams. So I went, does J.J. Abrams being on a Disney Star Wars movie make me want to see it? And sadly, the answer is still no. And I thought about, I'm like, who could they add to make me want to see a Star Wars movie
starring Michael Fassbender?
And it turns out that there's no director. Even if they said Chris Nolan is doing Star Wars, that I've gone, yeah, but it's Star Wars.
You don't watch it now.
No, I'm going to watch this one. I'm going to watch it, but there's
I have to watch it. I mean,
you know, I saw the
three crappy ones, so I have to continue.
Normally when you have some big name director attached to some big name title, you go, yes, I'm going to see that. Like when we heard that Snyder was doing Man of Steel, I went, damn right he's doing it. Yep. Let's go.
Or when we heard Joss Whedon was doing Avengers, yes.
No, I went.
I also went.
Yes. You like Joss Whedon? I was under the impression. No,
I love giving him shit.
You like Firefly? Really?
Firefly, I love. That other garbage that he did with what's her face. Dollhouse is a flaming pile of shit.
What about Buffy?
Didn't watch Buffy.
Buffy's foolishness.
I know that. That's why it's called Buffy.
Right. I've seen Firefly want to like it, but I'm not sure.
The sing-along thing. What's his name?
Oh, that's awesome. Right. Dr. Horrible.
Dr.
Nobody.
Dr. Horrible sing-along. Right.
That is very good, actually.
It was Firefly Serenity.
I actually own that in the HD.
Dr. Horrible. And I went, I love this guy. I like some of the things he does. I didn't like Dollhouse. You guys don't even understand.
Dollhouse. Andrew got me to drink the Kool-Aid for like the first season. And then slowly but surely the taste went bitter and sour in my mouth.
And the rest of people with eyes saw that it was garbage and they canceled it. But this isn't, I'm not like, and the thing is, even if they say, all right, we're into Putin, all of the actors that you love, Damien, we're going for, as you guys said, Fassbender and all of these. Even if they, because it's Disney. Disney can call anybody they want, write a blank check and go, I don't care what you thought you were going to be doing for the next 6 years. You're doing Star Wars.
As long as I want Ewan McGregor to come back.
Yes, it is.
Liked him in those Star Wars.
You realize
movies.
Who's going to be in Star Wars though, right? Who is the one man that is signed on to almost every Disney movie for the past, say, 10 years?
I don't know. Who?
Come on. Think about it.
Taylor Kitsch?
All right, I'll give you a hint.
If you said Jack Sparrow,
he's been a pirate lizard.
I idiot. I knew it.
His name is Jack
What's
Sparrow.
His name?
Or what? Johnny Depp.
He can be the Hutt. He can be Jabba the Hutt.
Jabba the Hutt.
Hey, how about they just not tell any of those stories?
Because that's the weirdest part, because I remember reading a post. This was probably complete rumor and bullshit. but that they wanted to have, like, on top of the trilogy that they're going to make, a lot of side stories going on, and they wanted to get Zack Snyder to do a Star Wars side story, where he can do whatever he wants.
That's possible. And remember, you know, Disney just bought Lucasfilms, so they're going to want to milk that shit for whatever they can get out of it. They haven't earned any money yet. Well, actually, they probably have. Yeah. Star Wars earns money, like, on a daily basis, but they haven't, you know,
more.
They haven't gone above whatever they thought they wanted.
I heard, which I know this is wishful thinking for lunatic Star Wars people, is that now that Disney owns the movies, they can put out the proper Blu-ray for the old movies.
Yes, I know
they can't.
I would love if they could.
No, but Disney wouldn't do that.
Disney has this vault bullshit.
They don't care.
I hate that crazy thing.
But they can.
But I've heard, I've heard that argument that they don't actually own the rights to the old movies.
Right.
Is that true?
Correct.
Okay, that's bullshit.
Disney could pay for them, though.
They need to.
They're just going to kill whatever it
is. I want Blu-rays of that. Those actual versions. None of this foolishness where, you know, they've changed all of these things and they've added special effects that look like shit because they're 90s and, 90s special effects. Like, come on.
I've only seen the change versions.
Oh, really?
When would I have found the older
versions? I own the older versions on DVD.
I don't think at this point it's going to make a difference.
Yeah, at this point it sucks on the TV. But but when I did buy it, it looked very nice.
Fair enough.
And I remember... Ago, yeah, exactly.
On a TV far away.
Oh my god. I remember getting those and being so excited. I was like, oh, it's on DVD. It's in such good quality. And then like... 2 or 3 years later, Blu-ray just boomed and we got HD and I realized how horrible it looks on TV, on HD TVs.
Right. We're supposed to be moving on in the trails.
Probably.
Right. So this week, Andrew Robinson.
Okay. No, go on.
Okay.
So I was going to talk about John Wayne, but fine.
Oh, no. Andrew, how would I have known that you wanted to talk about John Wayne? Right? Just said no, Damien, before we go to trailers. And talk about what about John Wayne, Andrew?
I saw Rio Bravo.
Okay.
For the first time. John Wayne is generally a good thing in movies. Am I wrong?
I've seen enough of his movies to say yay or nay, but... the crowd generally agrees with you.
No, you subscribe to John Wayne. You make up your mind earlier. Either you love him and all of his movies.
I think this is the third movie of his I've seen. Old man
and you don't like him.
I've seen so far Stagecoach, I've seen The Searchers, and know this. I can't think of another John Wayne movie.
No,
I've
haven't seen you seen the original?
Oh, True Grit.
True Grit.
Yeah, that too. But that was much older, much surlier John Wayne. I don't think I really like that
when
one.
When he didn't need to take oxygen in between takes.
There's something about John Wayne and about like back then when they used to make quote unquote manly men movies where John Wayne would come on screen and he'd say, "Don't do that." And then we'd watch the guy do it and we'd just say, why are you doing that? You're stupid. Didn't you hear John Wayne tell you not to do that?
John Wayne just said, don't do it. What is wrong with you? Don't you listen?
I'd listen to John Wayne.
But like, 30 years later, we got the same thing with Arnold Schwarzenegger. Arnold would say, you don't do that.
And then no, 20 years later.
Again 20 years later, we're greeted with Arnold Schwarzenegger telling us again not to do things.
I mean, it's kind of the equivalent of when we're watching Justified and we see Timothy Olyphant say, don't do that. And we watch the guy do it. And then we say, why are you doing it? Didn't you hear Mr. O tell you not to do it? And we just enjoy watching the repercussions of that moment. And that
Speaking of Mr. O, I need to get back on the what the hell is the name of that show? That bandwagon. The HBO show, the HBO Western.
Deadwood.
I need to get back on that bandwagon. I think
that's actually a show that I've been watching recently.
I watched the first season a few years back, and I think that's where I got... I already love, you know, Timothy Oliphant, but that's where I got a newfound respect for him, because he essentially played somebody kind of like the guy in Justified. You've seen that show, right?
Yeah.
And it was awesome.
I like hearing old-timey people use new-time bad words.
So I think I need to watch. I think there are two more seasons that I haven't seen, so I need to watch those.
The only big thing HBO ever put out that I haven't seen, even a nanosecond off, was Rome.
Yeah, I like that show a lot. Andrew loved that show.
Not even 2 seconds.
Like, yeah. I mean, the only thing I complain about is like the last two episodes of the second season,
right,
where they knew they were going to be cancelled and they hit the fast forward button.
But everybody who watched it said that it's real good.
Well, you know, it makes sense. These Italian people speaking in British accents.
Of course, it's always, I mean, it's made sense since the dawn of time. I'm going to give you a couple of pieces of information, and then I want you to tell me whether or not you like the trailer. Right? A. Coen Brothers. B. Drive.
Folk singer with a cat.
It's not my cat. I just didn't know what to do with it.
Really? So, did you bring your dick along too?
We should have had you wear double condoms. Well, we shouldn't have done it in the first place. But if you ever do it again, which is a favor to women everywhere, you should not. But if you do, you should be wearing condom on condom and then wrap it in electrical tape. Though the weather is
against me. See, need I say more?
All right. So Douglas Robinson, do you?
I love this trailer.
Andrew Robinson, do you know why I said B Drive?
I have no clue why you said Drive.
All right. So Carey Mulligan is in Drive. She has a husband in Drive who is in this movie.
Oscar Isaac.
Yes.
I like him.
The last time they came together, I got an okay movie.
It was alright. Yeah. Some people
said the soundtrack was great, but everything else was kind of mediocre. Mm-hmm. One guy stared at the camera a lot and didn't say anything.
Mm-hmm.
But all in all, I think people kind of sort of like it. They're teaming up again with far superior directors.
whoa, friend.
Reffin
gave us Bronson.
And
Reffin
the Pusher
gave us
trilogy.
Pusher. How can you say that?
You think for a second that I'm going to, you know, entertain an argument that Nicholas is better than the Coens? You've lost your goddamn mind.
The Coens are fantastic.
You're damn right.
And
they are.
I have been a fan is not even the word for what I am for the Coen brothers since
it's a sickness at this.
It is. Since I watched the Hudsucker Proxy.
A Single Man.
No. But those are the recent ones. Hudsucker Man is the one.
Still funny.
But Hudsucker Proxy came out in like the mid-90s. And I saw that with no knowledge of who the hell they were. I essentially had two big reasons to watch that movie. One, it looked, you know, kooky, which I... Even when I was younger, kind of loved that kind of movie. But that wasn't enough to push me over. What actually pushed me over when I finally did get to watch it, because I remember I saw it when I was in high school. I saw the ads on TV for it, and I was like, I really want to watch this movie. But then I went to college, mm-hmm. and I learned to love a man by the name of Bruce Campbell. And I found out that Bruce Campbell was in this movie, and it was like 2 + 2 immediately equal chicken. I could not pass it up. And I watched it, and I loved it. And ever since then, I've been a Coen Brothers fan. I mean, you know, every movie after that has been so many shades of better. I mean, they've gotten The Big Lebowski. We've gotten True Grit. We've gotten No Country for Old Men. There's...
I remember the first time
so
I
much
saw
bias
Miller's
behind
Crossing,
these guys.
And I went... I saw Miller's Crossing, mm-hmm. young, before... Like, someone sat me down and said, this is good movie, boy.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, okay. And then I watched it later in life when I knew her. I'm like, no, I've seen this.
Yeah.
I've seen this. I was amazing when I was a child when I should not have been watching this. I was amazing today.
Actually, you know what's funny? Now that you say it, I realize that even before Hudsucker Proxy and before any hell Coen Brothers mm-hmm. were, I watched Arizona Rising, which is also a Coen Brothers movie,
you
and also really good.
Yes. Raising Arizona.
Sorry, Raising Arizona. Thank you, Andrew, for correcting me. You know, when Nicolas Cage was Nicolas Cage, and he could be crazy in movies and be good at it.
Conair, guys. Yes, I love Kanye. I don't care what you say. You'll never get me to accept that. As long as he asks people to put the bunny back in the box.
See, the thing is, I have no argument. I have no feet to stand on. I cannot actually stand on the 2 feet that on one foot say that Conair is bad, and on the other foot absolutely adore both Face Off.
Exactly.
And The Rock. I can't.
Listen to me. John Malkovich told a man, sayonara.
So there is a video on YouTube where someone did a supercut of Nicolas Cage going crazy in movies.
Yes, I think I have seen that one.
And anytime I feel sad, I watch that video and it makes me happy.
That would work.
When he starts doing the alphabet from Vampire's Kiss, I believe it is.
I want to watch that movie so badly.
Right. Have we even said the name of this movie yet?
No, we haven't.
Right.
Inside Llewyn Davis, which, by the way, I have on my fantasy league, my fantasy team.
Yes. And Coen Brothers movies usually make a boatload of money.
They make enough, especially because they're generally no Oscar bait. Well, not really bait, but Oscar...
Yeah, contenders.
Like, contenders.
Because they're fantastic.
Yeah,
but here lies the difference. Since their Oscar name thing has been going on, most of their movies have been starring the likes of Brad Pitt, and then remakes of classic westerns or such, which has helped their box office. I don't think there's anything in this one to help the box office.
Kieran Mulligan.
Kieran Mulligan is kind of big. Who else would
John Goodman.
John Goodman has never been something to help box office.
That is a lie. You take that back.
I'm not saying he's not
everything.
A good thing.
He helps everything. How dare you?
Listen, Standard is in there, okay?
Argo, he was in Argo, and that helped that box
Standard.
Office.
I love that joke Standard. In that movie.
Where is the deluxe model?
Morons. Now, guys, I said it to Douglas, but I don't know if this trailer is good or not.
Oh, this one?
Yeah.
No, I agree. I don't think this trailer is that great.
Know.
But all we needed to know was directed by the Coens, starring all these people. When is the date? I don't
remember,
know the date.
The trailer for A Serious Man, where it was just this
wow.
tapping
yeah,
thing. And
that,
him.
That trailer was fantastic.
That is what I expect.
Yeah.
Because I know
but
they,
see, the thing is,
I
you
know
can't
they
sell
can
movies
that.
With that trailer, though.
They're not going to sell this movie to anybody, either way. It doesn't make any difference. Coen Brothers movies only sell to people who know what a Coen Brother our movies are. So, but... I don't know. I have to see this movie. If I could, I'd watch it. No.
Mm-hmm.
Can't. I'm a punk. So we all love this movie. That's fair.
That's fair.
Now, Douglas, I think you should introduce the next trailer. The reason will be obvious to the listeners in 5 or so seconds.
Okay. So, listen, everybody. A movie has been made that has not been made in, I would say, over 6 years, if I've gotten my timing correct.
I think the Rewind movie was...
No, that movie does not count.
2008?
He has a movie which came out last/this year.
No. I'm counting back to the last movie that I watched by him that was like this and that was good. And that would be The Science of Sleep.
That was 2007.
Was it 7? Was it that long?
I'm pretty sure Be Kind Rewind can fit into this kind of movie.
No, it cannot, because it was bad.
I mean, the only difference between that and this was that was Be Kind was in English.
No, Andrew, he is.
I don't think you're understanding. He is subtracting the bad movies.
Thank you.
Right? So what makes you think that this won't be a bad movie?
Those don't, because it's French. A and B. Michel Gondry is doing this.
Michel Gondry,
starring Audrey Tautou.
Is that black dude the guy from Untouchables?
Yes, it is.
It did look like
Omar Sy.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, so we have yet another positive. This trailer.
What's the name of
could
this
movie,
go by the
either way?
Way.
Mood yes. Indigo yes, or yes, something
yes,
like that.
Yes, Mood Indigo.
Bonjour.
Yes, it is. So the thing about this trailer, as I said, it could go either way. Honestly, I watched this trailer and the sum of the parts do not equal a good movie, but I also know what good Gondry movies look like, and they kind of look like this too. So I kind of have to weigh that in here as well, because this guy can be uber crazy, but he can also be uber good. All right, let me tell you what the Gondry movies that I think are great. The first three, Human Nature was fantastic. Eternal Sunshine was probably his pièce de résistance, right, you'd call it, his best movie ever. And then you have Science of Sleep, which was fantastic and just like what this trailer looks like.
Andrew, Douglas, one of you guys remind me midweek to make sure I have to watch.
Eternal Sunshine.
I have to watch a movie again to know if me not liking it is wrong or right. Cause I'm tired of hearing people say that they love that movie and me not liking the movie, but not remembering specifically why I don't like the movie.
I think Eternal Sunshine is one of the best love stories ever made. I mean, it's a love story without actually having a straightforward love story. And he does it so well.
Things like that.
He does it so well. But so there is clearly a lot of bias on my part for this trailer. There's no running around that, eh?
The Science of Sleep isn't on Blu-ray, guys.
Fuck, that sucks. I own it on DVD, but that's because when I bought it, there was nothing better. I own both those movies. Yeah, I own both Eternal Sunshine and Science of Sleep on DVD. I need to try and fix that. And I need to also own Human Nature. That movie is so good. I don't think you'd like it, but it's so good.
I'll watch Eternal Sunshine and find out what's up.
So I hope that this is essentially a director who is tired of doing bad things, going back to his roots and doing good things that are crazy. And I will ignore the schizophrenic aspect of this trailer and just see it through my mind's eye. Andrew, Damian, what do you think?
Is it weird that the one thing that I thought was the most positive like the most positive, like on paper thing for this trailer I saw was I got to see Omar Sy again.
Oh wow!
And I kind of hope that there's some Earth, Wind and Fire in this movie somewhere. I think I'm still reeling away from seeing the We and the I and how much I hated that movie. But I agree with you, Douglas. It looks like Gondry is returning to what we loved Gondry for, like, completely. Like, he's not watering himself down at all for Hollywood. He's saying, fuck this shit, I'm going straight back to France and swinging for the fences again. And if I get the
isn't this his first French language movie?
Well...
Feature length, at least.
Wasn't Sans of Sleep basically French?
No, it was actually
English,
half
it
of
was
it was
a
Spanish.
French production.
Oh wait, no, that's true. It was there was some French in there, but it was half and half, right? So I mean, I can argue that away. He's never had a full on French feature length movie, has he?
So on a side note, so because this is one of the weird parts of cinema when you're trying to define things by region, Douglas. Yeah. What do you consider, what's that fucking movie, Slumdog Millionaire to be? Is it a American film?
No, hold
British
on, I'm not,
film?
Okay, sorry. I was saying French language, so I'm not talking about the region from which it emanates. So, Slumdog Millionaire was generally an English language movie.
Right.
Right? Because for most of the time, they were speaking in English. So that's what I'm saying. I think this is the first movie that Michel Gondry has directed. While I haven't seen it, and it could easily be that all of these scenes are the only scenes with French in them.
Yeah,
right?
Put a lot of effort in.
I know, right? But I imagine from
lots
that trailer
of French people.
That there is only French spoken in this movie. Right. And so I think that this would be, at least from what I have seen of him, I know I haven't watched everything because there are a few, like you mentioned, The We and the I, and I know there was another movie with his, I know there are about two or three movies in between the last movie that I saw with Disco Santa and this that I haven't seen because they're like mainly, you know, small festival movies that haven't really come out yet. So I could be wrong, but for me, I don't think there has been a full-on French language movie that he's directed, despite the fact that he's a Frenchman and very much so flaunts that in his style.
He's like, ooh, I'm French. Uh-huh.
I mean, even his first big feature film, Human Nature, was completely English language and clearly leaning towards the American side of the fence. You know, most of the people in that movie were American, except I think there was Reese fans and actually I think maybe just him, you know, that he was, and he's still English language, he's Australian, so.
Well, you might be right that this is his first full French language film. But I don't think about that too much because I kind of define it by region because that makes it a lot easier because once you define it by, the type of market they're playing for, you can see the differences. Because if you look at The Science of Sleep versus Eternal Sunshine, which is French production versus American production, you can see the gaping differences as to how they're playing the market with the story.
Okay.
That sounds like a disagreement.
No, it's not a disagreement. It's not even close. It's something completely different, Andrew. I agree wholeheartedly with what you just said.
Michel Gondry is making another movie and the trailer looks weird.
Yep.
But I'll watch it because he is clearly one of the special ones in terms of directing. You don't watch, like, when he's on point, even though I don't like the movies, you can't watch them and go, well, that's just run of the mill. He doesn't do run of the mill. You can tell that by the trailer. And for that reason alone, I definitely want to watch it. but I am I'm cautious.
You look, you don't look cautious, you look afraid.
Yeah, I am. I am afraid.
But if I should say something bad about this trailer, it starts out with a very Michel Gondry trailer where they're all talking in French and they're all doing the, you have the weird visuals and such, and then halfway through a song by the Lumineers comes on and it plays through the rest of the trailer, and totally it feels like they're cheating.
The Lumineers. I can't remember where I've heard that song before, but I remember loving it. And I was saying to Damien, I know this song, I love this song, why don't I own this song?
And I said to Douglas, don't ask me. Andrew would know. And Andrew did know.
I've been trying to do it right. I've been living a lonely life. I've been sleeping here instead. I've been sleeping in my bed. Sleeping in my bed. So show me.
So I had a little trip around the internet, and I said to the internet, I need a good foreign film.
So you're saying you sucked at Google searching, unlike me?
No. I said something that I have never heard of, though. I don't want movies that, you know, when you type in good foreign films, you see these names and I go, I've seen 90% of those, and that one that I haven't seen, no one should ever see.
So, here lies my question, right?
Yes.
What's your history with the director, Wong Kar-wai?
I don't know. I didn't even look what else he did.
Because there are around, like, 4 other movies which people hail higher than this one. And I'm surprised you picked out this one, that's what you put into the search.
I picked out that one because I have never heard of this movie. I have never... It's never come up. Alright, looking at his filmography now.
Most people kind of shout out In the Mood for Love and Chungking Express. Those are the two which I hear.
Oh, I know Chungking Express. I know that name.
I've heard...
I don't know if I've watched it, but...
I've heard In the Mood for Love. And when doing this, I heard that this was the sequel to that one. But I've never seen any of them. But my aim was to find a movie from outside of America that people hail as a good movie.
Received a 7.4 on IMDb.
People hail as a good movie, and I never heard of it. So I saw this one come up, and I went, "All right, that could be interesting." Douglas cannot find the 6 key. And
an 85% on Rotten Tomatoes. Yes.
So, I decided, well, why not have these two guys watch the movie with me? Say, if I'm right, I'll be hailed as a genius. Sadly, I am incorrect. This movie is...
Can we say what the movie is?
Sure. The name of the movie is 2046.
Oh my god! Oh my god!
He did my
He directed my Blueberry Nights, which Andrew forced me to watch, and I knew it was bad and it was horrible. Why did I not realize this and just decide not to watch this?
I watched my Blueberry Nights, and I love this movie for one reason and one reason.
What's that, Norah Jones?
Norah Jones.
This movie's bad.
I don't know if it is. I was too busy listening to Norah Jones albums and staring at her talking nonsense. I know the movie's bad. Let's get that out of the way. I don't want anybody to say, Damien,
look at Andrew. I'm just like, oh, damn it, Douglas. Why do you hate that movie? That movie's so awesome.
Movie's bad. Like, and not even kind of good either. Like, real bad. So, cool. Alright, fine. I now know one movie. I've seen one movie of his. And I like the movie, but for all the wrong reasons. And if I'm asked, I'm going to not defend that movie.
Andy has a new movie coming out this year.
Don't care. Not based on the evidence of the two movies I've seen from him. First, on the positives, he clearly can direct. He knows what he's doing with that camera. Fine. Now for the negatives.
What's everything this movie about? Because I half remember what it's about.
Right. So, Mr. Chow is a racist stereotype of a name. he is a writer. And he is also clearly a womanizer. And the story is disjointed and makes very little sense. And for me to explain it to you is not going to, no matter what I say, it's just going to sound like I'm making it up as I go along because and nothing really happens. Yeah. But that is exactly what happens in the movie. It starts out, he says, no one ever comes back to 2046.
No, comes back from 2046.
2046,
which
is a
place. It's either a place or a time.
Or a time.
And
or
yeah, a place. It's ridiculous.
And he goes there, he fell in love with this girl, he left. Now he's back. I know he's, and at the end of the movie, he's leaving again. All this is also intertwined with the fact that he's writing a book. The book is also called 2046, and it is set in the future, but not the future of 2046. But there are androids, and he falls in love with the android, who serves as a surrogate for the woman that he's currently in love with. And the movie is terrible. This is 2 hours of people staring at each other and moping around and sometimes having sex, but most of the time they're just, it feels like the movie is, it thinks that it is more profound than it actually is. Because they're saying these things that real people have never said to each other at any point. But they're saying it and they're delivering the lines in such a way to kind of show you that, yeah, you know, you're supposed to be, you as the viewer, you're supposed to be getting something from this. This, all of this is profound. All of this, you know, you must take this in. There's even poetry injected into the movie. There's just a black screen with text. And the text is poetry, and you're going, I'm not sure what that is in aid of. And then he's still doing a voiceover at the scene. And the movie is just, it is a shambles. It is a mess. And I was just kind of confused at the end of the movie. Wondering what, because the movie quite literally goes nowhere. Nothing really happens. And then the movie ends, and I was sat there just wondering why. Just what is this 2 hours about?
Damien.
Yes.
This week,
mm-hmm.
I watched another movie called Coffee and Cigarettes.
Right.
Which is actually, the reason I didn't talk about it a while ago is because I've seen it a few times right. already. It's what I didn't realize was it was directed by Jim Jarmusch, which immediately put it up in my thing. Can I just talk about that instead of this?
Sure.
Because Tom Waits is in this movie.
I've actually seen Coffee and Cigarettes.
Oh, you have?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's Jim Jarmusch.
Right. And it's,
A bunch of vignettes.
Right.
Yeah.
Of different people talking.
And you know what I love about that movie is each of them were, even though it came out,
come up in last week when you guys were talking about,
because I didn't know that Jim Jarmusch directed it. I just knew that I'd seen it.
Shouldn't Andrew have known that?
He should have. Yeah, exactly.
Andrew, you're falling off.
But what I love about that movie is that each of those pieces were filmed over a long period of time. So
cut together.
Yeah, and cut together. So like the piece with the twins, I think that was done around the time when.
Didn't that movie come out in like 2007?
Yes, it did. Okay. But you know that one was filmed in like the 90s, and then one was filmed in the 80s, and it's from all over the place. But I'd like to talk about that. I don't want to talk about it.
But we kind of have to, because we're reviewing this.
So okay, the first thing that struck me about this film and about how bad this film probably was going to be was when, and I counted it, the first, say, 20 to 25 minutes was all voiceover and zero, zero dialogue.
Yeah, right? That's pretty bad. Oh, God.
So when Damien says that this movie is all over the place, he's not lying. Like, you know, sometimes we exaggerate because we get really, when we don't like something, we really just, you know, have it out at it, right? But no, there is no exaggeration in what Damien says, right?
You can follow this movie. Congratulations.
For the first 15 minutes, I honestly thought this movie was going to be a futuristic sci-fi movie, about actually this place or time. I wasn't quite sure because he kind of mixed it up, called 2046, which was like, some sort of euphoria is
utopia,
thank you, some kind of utopia. But because this guy came back and he kept talking about how, you know, nobody ever comes back, I'm the only one that comes back and it's very painful to come back, it was clearly some sort of utopia on the surface, but when you get there you realize it's like hell or something, you know, and then you realize that what he's really trying to do is use that as a metaphor for his life and what the mistakes that he has made, and then you realize not only is it a metaphor for that, but it's actually this book that he's writing, and he has some sort of emotional attachment to the number 2046 because it has something to do with not just the room that he wants to go to when he moves from Singapore to Hong Kong, but apparently it also has something to do with a room that he stayed in Singapore in as well.
He should have called the book 2047 as a joke.
Well, he did as a joke because he couldn't get to 2046 in Hong Kong, so he had to take 2047. It's ridiculous. It's all over the place. It's confusing.
Oh, and lest you think that it is just jumping around the place, and the reason we're complaining is because, you know, we just couldn't follow the movie and there's nothing else wrong. The movie is also very boring.
It is. I fell asleep in this movie at least 20 times, and I think that that is actually good for me because I must have, because I probably missed some of it.
Some of the bad.
But honestly, though, I think that this movie did have a story, but it was buried so deep that it was hard to catch on. What this guy is really trying to say, right? Really trying to show. And I kind of get it. And it actually has a seed of goodness in it, but you can't, there's so many layers around it that you just can't get to it. Essentially, what this guy is trying to tell is the story of this kind of messed up person, this very sad person, which is Mr. Chow, the writer, because he's loved and lost more than once in his life, and he did this in Singapore, and at least from his perspective, the lady essentially dumped him, or just, you know, she said she wouldn't go with him to Hong Kong, and, you know, we're never going to see each other again. And so he went to Hong Kong, started a new life, and because he was so, I guess, hurt or you know, broken from this relationship, he became this womanizer. And then now he essentially found that relationship again, and screwed it up again, and realizes now that actually, he again thought it was the other lady's fault. And a third time he gets into this relationship with another lady, and kind of finally realizes that the reason that none of these relationships for him work is because he is broken, not that they are. And that more than likely they saw that, and while they wanted to be with him, you know, realized that this guy is not good for me. And so what they were, and so in the end he talks about that there was a time when he said to at least the first lady that he was in love with that, you know, he said something along the lines of, I'm leaving, I want you to come with me, but clearly you're not going to come with me. So when you get over your past, come look for me, because he thinks that it is her past that is stopping her from being with him. And now at the end he finally realizes it's not her past, it's not anything to do with her, it's a fact that he's just not where he needs to be. And that's kind of, I think, what this movie is about. But it's, I mean, when we joke about it, you know, we're kind of exaggerating, but this is one of those movies where you say, you know, it's essentially, it's, you can describe it as a metaphor wrapped in a simile, wrapped around a euphemism. It's just all over the place, the movie, and it goes nowhere.
It's kind of like how a book is paced, where I think the director feels that he has all the time in the world and can go anywhere at all with this, and then it will all come back in the end. But it's done to the movie's detriment. Like you said, at the start of the movie, it's just this constant, you know, voiceover trying to catch you up on what all of this nonsense that you're seeing on the screen means, and doing a poor job of it. And then the rest of the movie kind of just goes. And then by the end of the movie, you're just left there bored, and B, trying to piece together all of the things that they were trying to do, trying to make, you know, some kind of sense out of it. And then you just go, no, I don't have to do this, because the movie didn't entertain at all. This is the movie. I'm not at fault for this movie being bad. The movie is bad. And I am bored, and I am not entertained as a result. And I don't know what others saw in this movie to praise it so highly. Maybe the first one was so good that it made the second one make sense. Maybe if because we're jumping into part two,
okay,
all of this would have made perfect sense. There's a 2045?
Is that what the first one's called?
But
I'm just going to go on record and say that you're all wrong. This movie is fantastic, even though I haven't watched one frame of it.
I understand. But this movie, I won't recommend. I won't even remember this movie.
This movie is about a negative 5. Is what this movie is.
This movie, I would have said I didn't watch to get a 0. I've never seen this. Andrew was extremely busy. Had a lot of things crunching on projects and stuff like that, so he didn't get to watch it. Don't give him any shit. It's not his fault. I'm going to say in his defense. But the movie is real bad, man. No one should watch it. No one should watch this. So next week it is.
I still feel bad that I really haven't watched that much Wong Kar Wai. I've seen Blueberry Nights, but I think that's about it. And I'm honestly looking forward to the film he has coming out this year called The Grandmaster, which is him going into an action movie. So yeah.
Has to be better than Tai Chi 0. So I think I'll let Andrew lead us out of another riveting, just riveting podcast. You guys were so hyped. So much energy in this room. Douglas falling asleep. Andrew actually asleep. Fantastic.
Guys, they woke me up to start the podcast because I fell asleep.
Well, honestly, it's kind of like a revolving door, because Damien woke himself up to say to me at 6:15, or no, 6:45,
yeah. Which is 15 minutes before we start recording.
All right. That he has just woken up and is now about to get ready to come. Then when he phoned me, he woke me up because I was sleeping to say that. When he woke me up twice, because when he got here, I was sleeping.
And when you sent that message to me, Douglas, I'd just come back from watching The Impossible. So I was like, oh, so another hour. And I'm like wasting time watching TV on Netflix. And then an hour and a half later, I see my phone saying, someone's calling you on Google. I'm like, yep. Oh.
Yep, and then we wake up Andrew to get the podcast. So it's a night of sleeping and arising.
So on that note, this has been the Unnamed Movie Podcast. I want to thank you all for listening. As usual, you can find it...
Transgressions against cinema.
You can find the podcast over at gmanreviews.com and also through iTunes. You can find me on Twitter at gmanreviews. Douglas is at DJR Lost His Name. And Damien is at Damien_White. White with a Y. I think that's about it.
What's that? Y-H-I-T-E?
Yeah.
No, it's W-H-Y-T-Y.
White. Damien Whitey.
Whitey.
It's just Whitey. Actually, why isn't it just Whitey? Those sprays in the air, I don't go.
This is just how it goes. The stories have all been told before.